Good morning. Welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be learning Mizmor Memhei, the 45th psalm in the book of Tehillim. And this is a rather unusual one. This is a Mizmor which doesn't appear so much in the course of our prayers, in our davening, but it is really an unusual moment to appreciate. Let's take a look at it quickly. So it's overview. It has 18 psukim, and it is basically divided into two sections with a few introductions and conclusions. So the first pasuk is its kotevet, its inscription, which is rather unusual, which has many words of description. We'll try to get to it in a moment. Lamnatzeach al shoshanim livnei korach maskil shir yedidos, which is roughly translated as, using the living Nach translation, is for the conductor on the shoshanim of the sons of Korach a maskil, a song of love. So it's a pretty complex kotevet. Then we have a pasuk of introduction, which is Rochash libi dovar tov omer ani maaseh lo melech leshoni eit sofer mahir. So he's introducing that this is the person, the mishorer, the narrator, his heart is astir. He's going to present a composition to the king with his tongue as the pen of a skillful scribe. And then there's two sections. The first section runs from Gimel to Ches, that's 3 to 8, in which it is praising the king and his attributes. And then it moves from Tes to Yud Zayin, 9 to 17, where it describes the royal wedding of the king and his bride, and praising the bride as well, and finally concluding with the last words as Azkiro Shimcha b'chol dar v'dar, Al Kain Amim Yehoiducha Le'olam Vo'ed, I'll praise your, I will cause your name to be remembered throughout the generations, I will, and therefore the peoples will praise you forever and ever. In terms of the central themes, it seems pretty clear this Mizmor is being said about the king, if taken on a pshat, on a most basic level, on the day of his marriage. So the Mizmor starts off by praising his many characteristics. So for example, in Pasuk Ches, Ohav Tzedek, you loved righteousness, Vatisna Resha, you hated evilness, Alkein Meshachacha Elokim Elokecha, Hashem Mesason Mechaverecha, and that's why God anointed you above all your colleagues. It also then goes on to praise the wedding and the beauty of the bride. And it seems that she's from another nation. In fact, it seems almost as if we can conclude that she's from the nation of Tyre, as is mentioned a little bit later on in the Mizmor. In Pasuk Gimel, Uvas Tzor, the daughter of Tyre, B'mincha Ponai Chichalu. And in that regard, so we hear beautiful descriptions about her. So Mor Va'aholos, Ketzios, Kol Bigdosecha, all her garments are smelling of these beautiful herbs. And she comes from the temple of ivory, obviously a very fancy way that this wedding is happening, and all their palace afterwards. But there's also an entreaty to her to forget the culture she comes from. So in Pasuk Yud Aleph, the narrator turns to her and says, Shimi bas uri'i, listen, O daughter, and see, va'ati oznech, and listen, tilt your ear, v'shrichi, forget your nation and your father's house, because it seems like she's coming from the outside, so forget that culture and sort of embrace the new culture. And if this is the case, then it ends with the bracha is tachas avosecha, yuvonecha, under your fathers will be your children, meaning you should have longevity, you should have many children who will serve l'sarim b'chol aretz, as ministers around the whole land. So there seems to be a general, very specific event we're focusing on. One question we could ask ourselves is, why is this even included in the book of Tehillim? Meaning the book of Tehillim is ostensibly includes many prayers, but what is this? This seems like a historical moment. So the Da'at Mikra makes a few suggestions. Rabbi Mos Chacham, he says that maybe it refers to the king and queen, because as we know that this is Mashiach Hashem, the anointed one of Hashem. And so giving honor to the king and queen is like giving honor to Shamayim, to heaven itself. It could also be that the prayer that is in this Mizmor is a prayer for the continuation of the chain of Masorah, meaning Hashem, please allow the posterity and the directness, the honesty of your rule to go through the right people. And it could also be that there's important lessons here for kings and queens, as we will see shortly, and also the important lessons for regular people, which we'll also see shortly. So this perhaps is why it is included in the book of Tehillim. One of the interesting questions behind this Mizmor is, about whom was this actually said? Which king, perhaps, can we identify? So there's a debate between the Mepharshim. Some Mepharshim suggest that this refers to David HaMelech himself. Why? Because many of the great characteristics which describes, his beauty, his strength, his righteousness, do fit the bill with David HaMelech, do fit the bill with David, and therefore it could be referring to him. However, the question is that David HaMelech never really married the daughter of Tyre, Bas Tzor, the daughter of Tyre, so it doesn't seem to fit in that level. It could be that It refers to a non-Jewish young princess he did marry, whose name was Ma'acha, his fourth wife, who was the daughter of Talmai, the king of Geshur. Geshur is the area, according to most of the Mepharshim, which is up just in the area of the Golan Heights, which was an unconquered area, that little pocket. And David HaMelech had a political marriage where he married her. And in fact, it was a complicated marriage because the children of that marriage were Tamar and Avshalom. And that became a very complicated relationship for David HaMelech later on. Be it as it may, this could be referring to that, and therefore Tzor, Tyre, could be taken a little more flexibly and refers to this aspect of David HaMelech's marriage. The trouble also, some of the academics point out, is that ivory and gold, as described in this mizmor about the wedding and the palace, seem to be things which are imported later on under the rule of Shlomo HaMelech, and perhaps not at the time of David HaMelech. Again, it's hard to know, because although we do hear about the import and the trade in the times of Shlomo HaMelech, it's hard to say that there wasn't anything else going on earlier. In terms of another option is no, it refers to Shlomo HaMelech himself. We certainly know that he himself married the Bas Parosh. He made a political marriage to a Egyptian lady who converted to Judaism, like David HaMelech's wife also converted. And it was a political marriage with Bas Paro. And it's called Shir Yedidus, a song of friendship, of love. One of the names of Shlomo HaMelech, as explicit in Tanakh, is that Hashem called him Yedidia, the dear one of Hashem. So it could be referring to him. The trouble is that there are vague references to the peace against enemies and fighting down the enemies, which doesn't seem to be the main foreign policy issue that Shlomo HaMelech was dealing with at the time. But it could be that he still had enemies, so it's not the end of the world. And this is perhaps the perspective of the Malbim. There are other Mepharshim who said this refers to Achav, because Achav did marry a person from Tyre, from the Phoenician nations, and her name was Jezebel. And in fact, the people are telling her to forget her father's house, which ultimately she did not. The trouble with this interpretation is that Achav is not exactly the world's greatest tzaddik. There were many good things that he did do, but he also brought about many bad things. Some Mepharshim say, well, that was before he married Jezebel. He was righteous, but she, in many cases, corrupted him, as we saw, where he was willing to believe Eliyahu, certainly after Har Carmel, and she corrupted him when it came to the vineyard of Navos, their neighbor. There's many aspects where she ultimately was the gas on the fire for his negative behavior. Nonetheless, it could also be that this is referring to a king we have not yet met. So, example being, there are many Melachim in the Sefer Melachim which we don't know the details of their marriages and their lives. It wasn't relevant for the point of Tanakh, it may be relevant for history, but that could be referring to one of them, and therefore could be left in general terms as being the template for future marriages of kings. That is meant to accentuate and identify aspects of what a king and a queen are supposed to be, and therefore left as such. It should be noted that the later Mepharshim, for example, the Metzuras David, the Radak, say that this might be referring to the Melech HaMashiach. And this is actually a very tenable option in terms of the fact that it may originally have been said about a specific king, but in Tehillim it was placed generically after the three Mizmorim which have specifically talked about Galus. Mem Beis, Mem Gimel, and Mem Medalad have been descriptions of the state of exile. So it makes a lot of sense then that the Mizmor that comes after them, talking about the king and his marriage, could be referring to the Melech HaMashiach, who's going to alleviate that issue. It should be noted that there are Mepharshim like Rashi, and there's a Gemara in Shabbos which debates this on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, who describe that this might be an allegory. So meaning to say, like Shir HaShirim is not referring to a specific relationship of a man and a woman, it refers to an allegory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the master of the universe, and Klal Yisrael could be referring to this as an allegory between Knesset Yisrael and Hashem. It could be the soul and Hashem. It could be different elements which are expressed over here. Rashi says, "Lekvoid Talmidei Chachamim Yistu Hashir Hazeh." It was about those sages that it's referring to. So it could be an allegory for other relationships, which is not so specific or discrete an event. In terms of the places this appears in our tefillah, it does not appear in our tefillah wholesale. There are vague references in certain ways, you know, so when we hear the word Shemen Sason Mechaverecha at the end of Pasuk Ches, that of course is borrowed later on by the song on Lag Ba'omer of Bar Yochai. There are numerous vague references over here, but it's not our typical davening mizmor. In terms of just two psukim, the spotlight to focus on the first one is a complicated pasuk. It is Lamnatzeach Al Shoshanim Livnei Korach Maskil Shir Yedidos. That's a lot of words for an inscription. Lots of very different words for the conductor on the Shoshanim of the songs of Korach Maskil, a song of love. So how do we put all those together? Shoshanim is understood by the Mepharshim to be a musical instrument. So it's Al Shoshanim. It was played on the Shoshanim, whether it was called a Shoshana, or whether it had a picture of Shushan, as the Malbim suggests, but it's a musical instrument. A maskil means, could mean to say, Rashi suggests that it was said by a translator, meaning to say that this was said in numerous languages when it was played and sung. Yedidus sounds like a song of love of sorts. And that, as Malbim pointed out, it might be about someone Hashem loves, which is like Shlomo HaMelech. It could just be a song of love, of connection, because it's about the day of the wedding. It is interesting that the Midrash in Tehillim at the beginning of this Mizmor does say that the three different expressions of song which are in this Mizmor do relate to the three sons of Korach who ultimately survived. So each one of them has their own space and place to sing a song. Then the Midrash goes on to bring a mashal, a parable where a king comes to town and everybody wants to give him a crown, and they want to make this golden crown and all these jewels, and the king says, all I want is a crown of roses. And the nimshal, the application of this, is referring to the fact that the people wanted to crown Hashem, and Korach says, let's go and, you know, kol ha'eda kulam kadoshim, let's Hashem, let's give you a crown. And Hashem says, I don't want a crown, I want roses. And so from the thorns of a rebellion, he took out the roses, which were the sons of Korach, who ultimately did teshuva, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't so interested in the outer expression of fire pans and ketores and all the other ritual aspects that they were bringing to him, as much more as where their hearts were, which is where what proved true about the Bnei Korach, which is why they are called Shoshanim, which means a rose as well. It could be that it refers to them and their success in all three of them as a maskil, shir, and yedidus. Maskil and Shir, which are the three expressions of song over here. It is interesting that there are three Mizmorim about Galus, which are all following the trend of Livnei Korach. And it sounds interesting that the people who did Teshuvah ultimately are the ones who look to the future and see the Galus of the future. It is also interesting that the Mizmor that is sanctifying and respecting the king is said by the children of the person who was willing to undermine the authority in Israel, who was Korach. Fascinating just to think about in that respect. Finally, let's close with Pasuk Yodala, just one another Pasuk in the spotlight, a very fascinating Pasuk. It is Kol Kavuda Vas Melech Pnima, all the honor of the daughter of a king is inwards. Mishpatzos zahav levusha. She has golden robes and embroiderings on her robes. The Ibn Ezra says this is descriptive, meaning to say, he says, Shaisa shachenes lefnim ba'amrona v'loi haisa nireis lakol. Queens would live inside. So this is a description of that the honor of the king would be inside the palace, because that's where she held court. Whereas the Gemara in Yevamos, famously on Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, says that this is not descriptive, but rather prescriptive. So the Gemara quotes B'mar Rav in Israel, Amri v'itamer Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Krava, Yomru Eilov, Ayei Sareshtecha v'yomer Hineba Oel. And it's referring to the beginning of Parshas Vayera, where the angels say, where is Sarah? And Avraham Avinu responds, she is in the tent. And the Gemara takes us to mean, Rabbi Yitzchak takes us to mean in the Gemara, that there are different roles for different people, and the honor and the role of the wife in this relationship is more of an inner beauty, and that is expressed by the fact that Sarah is not in the public eye and limelight in the same way that Avraham Avinu is. Of course, they related to people equally. Sarah Megayeres Es HaNashim, she would have a very specific relationship with the woman, but Avraham Avinu's relationship was more on the front end, and she was more in the quiet side of things. This is a message which is perhaps harder to hear today in society, where everybody seems to be entitled to everything and roles fall away. And the idea of the Torah saying is that there's different roles in different places and times for different people, which is something which is worthwhile thinking about when taking the perspective of this Mizmor. It is interesting that Rashi expands this. Rashi, who believes that this Mizmor is not about a specific relationship or marriage of a king and queen, but is rather about Talmidei Chachamim, about those people who are studying Torah, he points out that he says, those who serve the king, the inner courtiers, who really do their job. They're invested in the internal world. They're not trying to get subscribers or being noticed. Those are the people who ultimately will wear gold on their garbs. So what Rashi is doing is Rashi is expanding this out, that it's not necessarily just a bas melech. It is anybody who represents what they do loyally, what they serving, learning Torah, connecting to the Ratzon Hashem, the will of Hashem. When they do what they do in a way of tzniut, in a way of inner beauty, where not the whole world needs to see every achievement and every picture and every plate at a restaurant, then ultimately the people who live such lives will ultimately be wearing golden garbs at the end, because their inner rich beauty did not need to be shared with the world. It raises a lot of questions and discussions. This is a very fascinating and important discussion to be had, specifically in an age where there are no holds barred. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.